That's a hard act to follow.
Alrighty, well, then we'll go ahead and get started with the message. Can I? I almost moved in. This is my father's house.
I thought I'd bring a cushion in a little more. I didn't stand there.
Alright. Well, as I said earlier, this morning, our topic, our subject is God. We want to talk about God. And, I guess the question is, the main question is, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? There's many lost and confused adults in this world, and many of them run institutions, and they promote their religion and the false gods that they worship, that their institution is based on. And they are gaining significant numbers of followers. One thing about the internet is you can see how many people are following any particular area of thought or religion or practice. And in a sense, it's just kind of revealed what maybe has been going on in the world. But when you're not connected instantly through the internet, you maybe don't see it. It's more local and regional. People are seeking God, but they're so easily deceived. And so many people in the world disbelieve in God because he's invisible. And to them, he seems irrelevant. Let's pretend that you were living back in about 2000, 2500 BC, many years ago, and you were a farmer. How would you know about God? How would you know about God? You don't have the internet, you don't have newspapers to your door, you don't have a Bible.
You watch your crops grow.
It's like watching paint dry, but you can see the progress.
That's exactly right. So how would you know about God? How would you know what he wanted from you? Does he want prayer from you? Well, how would you even know what prayer is? Does he want you to turn away from evil? Does he want you to hold feasts? Some of your friends, you notice, and family, suffer. They have problems. And you try to figure out why that's happening. How do you know what's going on in the background? How would you know why that is happening? Most would say, well, it's because of sin or something like that, or later on, religious practices like karma and things like would be brought up. So you, just like Job's friends, they would blame it on something that he did or didn't do. But if you knew God, you might say that suffering is often the means of purifying the righteous. Now we start to hit home a little bit. I mean, we are living in a time where the highs are really high and the lows and the suffering are really challenging, maybe more so than ever. So, you're this farmer. You're living way back when. Who is God? And when did he exist? A good summary definition of God is he's the supreme being The creator and ruler of all that is, the self-existent one who is perfect in power, goodness, and wisdom. Is that a pretty good broad brush definition of who God is? Let me just repeat it. The supreme being, the creator and ruler of all that is, the self-existent one who is perfect in power, goodness, and wisdom. Have you ever noticed the Bible never tries to prove that God exists? It just assumes that he is. In the beginning, God created. God is spirit, so by nature, he's intangible. God is spirit, he's intangible. But what does God do? I mean, what is his purpose? I've been thinking on this question this week as I've been driving around, and I see the beautiful place that we live in, and I think about people and how they're going through life, and people that I know, and you, and I'm just thinking about God and, you know, what he's doing in our life, how he intersects with our life. What does he do? What is his purpose? Let's say you were that farmer back in 2500 BC. You know, what is God's purpose? Back then, it was all about probably the crops that would grow and the food. But the Bible says, if you were to put together a handful of sentences that define this, it is, God created the world. He actively sustains the world. He actively sustains the world. He is executing his eternal plan. We all know that he has an eternal plan, right? And he knew the end from the beginning. And this plan involves the redemption of man from the curse of sin and death. God draws people to Christ. His spirit draws us to Christ, and that's the only way to the Father. He disciplines his children. Can I get an amen? Nobody wants to amen that one. And he will judge the world. He will judge the world. Why is he God? Why is he God? Well, he is sovereign. Period. He's sovereign, period. There's nobody above him. He was not created. He's not a created being. He is self-existent and has always existed. Try to wrap your mind around that. Where did he come from? Nowhere. Because he's self-existent. And he does not need human hands to both make him or to carry him from one place to another or to help him. Give him things that he needs. He doesn't need our help. Nothing existed before him. And nothing can happen without him. Turn with me to Job chapter 38. So if you go to the middle of the Bible, Psalms, go to your left one book, you'll hit Job. Job 38. Are you there?
Nope. Amen.
All righty. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now, gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? And what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors. And I said, this far you shall come, but no further. And here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light in darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home. You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way that the light is divided, or the east wind scattered on the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt? To bring rain on the land without people, on a desert without man in it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass to sprout. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice? And the frost of heaven, who has given it birth? Water becomes hard like stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season, and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, so that an abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightnings, that they may go, and they say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds by wisdom, or tip the water jars of the heavens when the dust hardens into a mass and the clods stick together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens and lie wait in their lair? Who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food? It continues on in the next chapter and after. And I think we get the picture by reading through that, the majesty, the substance of God, and how puny we are. Where were you when I did all this? And we know the answer, right? We admit the answer. Excuse me. Next slide. So, how does one get to know this God? Again, put your mind, if you want, back at 2500 BC, and you're out there, or you're a farmer, a rancher, and how do you get to know this God? I mean, you've come to understand that there is a God by virtue of the things we just read, but how do you get to know him? Well, he's revealed himself to us. And just like that farmer way back when, Job, we look and we observe. And there's a question of how did all this come to be? And the answer is somebody had to make it. Somebody had to create it. It just didn't spring into existence. And this is where people come to understand there is a God, there must be a God, there has to be a God. A couple other scriptures that are relevant that I'd like you to try to remember Turn with me to Psalm 19. See, ultimately, this message is designed to re-inspire you in sharing with the lost and the confused that there's God, that there is hope in this God.
That's a good one. Now, if you think of it about like this house, did you think this just sprung up? No, you have to believe somebody put their hands on and built it.
Yeah,
so
no
why would you not think of the earth that way?
Yeah. So Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voices not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. And in them he has placed a tent for his son. So, this God that we're talking about, which we said is spirit, is constantly speaking, and his word is going out. God is spirit, and he speaks in that way, and we have spirit, and we can hear him speaking in that way. It may be an audible speaking, and it could just be a spiritual understanding. But he is constantly communicating his message day in and day out since time began. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, towards the back of the New Testament. So I want you to try to remember these three passages, Job 38, Psalm 19, and Hebrews 1, so that you can bring that message of hope to all of the people that we're running into that have lost hope. And they've picked up anxiety. They've picked up depression. They've picked up fear. They have picked up hardness of heart. They don't want to touch you. They don't want to hug you. They don't want to be hugged by you. And these people have no hope. We have to bring it to them. Are you there? Hebrews 1. Verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways. So God was speaking to them, people like Job and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He was speaking to them, and then the many prophets that came afterwards. And they would communicate his words that he spoke to them. So God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, that's the time period that we're living in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. In other words, the Son, Jesus, is the exact representation of the nature of God, Spirit. And upholds all things by the word of his power. Think about that. Do you really consider that? Do you really believe that? Do you ever think about what is holding all of this together from just going completely bananas, spinning off the wheel, off the axis, all of the things that could happen? Do you ever think about your own personal life? You know, like, what keeps my heart beating? What makes me breathe? It's by the word of his power that is upholding all. And just think about if he were to let it go. We need God. God exists. He upholds all things by his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as he inherited a more excellent name than they. So God reveals himself in so many ways. ask the question. How does one get to know him? We answered that. He, you listen, you observe, you seek. He's speaking, he's making himself known. Maybe a more foundational question is, do I need to get to know him? Yeah. Do I need to get to know him? Well, you know, many people, sadly, will answer that question, no. He's irrelevant. I don't need to know him. Can't I just go through my life doing what I want without worrying about him and all of his rules? Well, yes. Yes, you could. And many do that to their demise. But eventually, everyone bounces into the question of purpose. The question of existence. Why do I exist? Why am I here? Where did I come from? And what happens to me when I die? Every one of us has bumped into those questions and we've answered them because we finally figured out that we needed Jesus, that there is a God, and he's a loving God, and he saves us. Amen. These questions that everybody asks, that everybody encounters, cause us to consider, what's that original cause? Lack of purpose causes depression, suicide, and unhealthy living. We need to know what our purpose in life is. We do. Every one of us here knows that we need to know that. Most of us have figured out the answer to that question. Some of us, though, haven't. And we're wandering around a little bit, and we're not fully living out the purpose that God has for us. What does he want from us? What do you want from us, God? Well, he wants a relationship. That's what it's about. He wants a relationship with us. He wants obedience. Obedience in the form of faith. And he wants us to make him known to other people. Isn't that what Jesus said right before he ascended? That you are my witnesses. Go into all parts of the world and make disciples. Let us be those witnesses. This is one of our purposes in life. That's what Job did, didn't he? I mean, he was living a really blessed life. And Satan talks with God in heaven, and Job doesn't know this conversation is going on. And Satan gets permission to mess up Job's life entirely. And he does. Yet Job did not continue to seek out God, to worship God, to make him known, even to his friends, until the point where we read chapter 38, where God had listened to him long enough and said, okay, my turn to talk. Where were you? When? Well, why should we want to get to know him? Well, he holds the future and the present in his hand. Think about that. Our future, the world's future, and the present in his hand. Shouldn't we want to get to know that person? He has all knowledge and all power. As we said last week, people want to know the future. And we are people that go and we pay to learn what the future is. We pay quacks to tell us what the future is going to be. We want to know. But he's the one that knows it all. And when we're going through things, like, I don't know, I'm just totally blown away with your situation you went through, Antonio. You know, I just can't imagine being on death's doorstep, having to wait for something to happen that you have no control over, that will give you life, that will keep you alive. And all of a sudden, boom, you get a call. And it seems like, wow, God, could you have done that a little bit before? Why did you have to carry me right up to the edge here? You know? But His timing is perfect, isn't it? He's the one that has knowledge. Let's ask Him. He's not capricious. He's not fickle. You know, we are, but He's not. He does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is infinite. He's not just a God of, say, America or Canada or Africa. He's infinite. He exists beyond time. He exists beyond boundaries. And He knows everything, and He has all power and authority. Can we say that about anything or anybody else? No. There are some things that are very powerful. They're so powerful beyond us, we have a hard time imagining it. But that's not, that's just within our human understanding. God, we can't even understand how tall, wide, and deep He is. So, now we kind of maybe come to the question of why do many people not want to get to know Him? Why would somebody not want to get to know this God that we've just been talking about?
Because they don't want to have to answer to anyone.
I'm sorry, say that again?
They don't want to have to answer to anyone.
Exactly. Yes. Jesus said in John 3, right, that their deeds are evil, and they don't want to bring their deeds into the light and be held accountable. Mm-hmm. So that kind of boils down to what? Pride. All right?
I was thinking shame.
Shame? No, be probably the opposite of pride. Pride, you know, I'm good, I got it all figured out, I'm all that. And shame, knowing that we're not.
That's kind of the bottom of pride.
Yeah. Well, another common answer to this question is people want to be their own God. Right? I mean, some people will actually say that. I want to be my own God. I am my own God. I can become my own God.
Some people have a heart to heart. They don't really want to be.
Right. There are many people, they either have a hard heart or an evil heart. And they want to communicate with evil spirits. I mean, consciously, they know that the spirits they want to communicate with are evil. And they want to be part of them. They want to participate in that. To them, that's enticing. It's sensual. It feels like all power. Heaven help them. But that is a reason, a very common reason, why people don't want to get to know God. I would say maybe one of the more common answers is to this, that people want to create their own God that they will submit to. They want to have a God that creates the rules that they want, and that's who they will submit to. Have you seen that? They create a form for this God, and they assign character and powers to it. You know, it has this superpower, it has that superpower. I'm not speaking about anybody in here, but I've talked to people through my ministry travels, and they come up and they define this God of theirs and all the powers that it has and what it can do and what it can't do. And I'm listening, and I'm astounded. But there is a large percentage of population that does this.
Or even, I've even run across people who think that they are or have somehow become demigods, and they use that to justify whatever lifestyle it is that they're living, and they assign themselves superpowers, however wackadoodle those superpowers may be, so they can keep living the way that they want.
Yeah, I think that's a great statement, Daniel. I had a brother-in-law that was a minister, married to my youngest sister. And he did something pretty bad, as well as my wife, Tara, over here. Her husband was a minister, and ended up in federal prison for something pretty bad. But during that time frame, they wanted to be the replacement, I think, for God.
Mm-hmm.
So when they put that out there, and then what they do creates this huge problem, other people look at that and say, there you go, that's why I don't believe in God, because here you got these people who stood up in front of me for years and told me all this stuff, and now I went out and raped this person, I went out and did this thing. And all of a sudden, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you think? How can God let that happen if he has Mark up here telling us every day about God? How can that person go and do his thing, his greedy thing? That's what pushes people away as well, within the church. And that's why you see a lot of people leaving churches.
And even, you know, keeping some people who are already outside the church well away from the church too.
Right.
I've seen.
Well, they hear about it too. They hear about what happened over at such and such church, and that little bit of doubt makes them think, then how can he be in my heart?
Yeah.
But I can say that in my own personal life, that any challenges that I've had definitely made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what it's like to have Dr. Terry, you only have 3 months to live. And it's gut-wrenching, but if you don't give it to God and say, okay, I'm going to do everything like my part, but I got to give it to you, and you can make the decision if I live or die.
Yeah.
And that's why I know it's so emotional when that happens. When you get that call, like I got that call, that you have 100% matching donor, you're like, oh, this emotion just comes out of your body. You can't even control it.
Yeah.
Because God, you know, he did that. That opportunity came. And you can't say, oh, the doctors are fantastic, which they are, the people helping. But he's the one that put that out of motion. For that to happen. And that's how we believe in God.
I think one of the points you bring up in your comment, though, is, and that's what this message is geared towards, is we need to be believing in God, not people.
Right.
In other words, it's a fallacy to say, I believe in God or I don't believe in God because of how his children acted. Amen?
Amen.
Mike?
One thing, we all have an old sin nature. None of us are perfect. We all can sin. We all do sin. The way to try and overcome this is stay in the Word. You need to constantly confess sin, constantly read the Bible, and try and get something. And do everything you can to stay in the Lord. And put it in the Lord's hands. He is in charge. Don't put it in your hands. And the Word is where it's all at. Don't count on yourself for being perfect.
Yeah.
You're not going to be perfect.
Yeah, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, so again, what is the reason for this message this morning? I want you to, you know, walk away contemplating this God that created us, that holds us together, that exists, that is loving, good, and kind, and merciful. And the reason I want you to be conscious of that is there are so many people that are lost and confused in this world. And we've just never seen in our lifetime a greater confusion. And yet, people are seeking. You know, when they're feeling like that, they know that maybe I should seek for something, for stability or strength or wisdom or hope. And we have that answer for them. So what should we do when we run into these people? This is a question for you to answer. What should we do when we run into people that are feeling this way?
Talk to them about your own testimony. If you have one, there's one way.
Okay.
Good discipleship. Huh?
That's what I've got is, so this last time I left Troop, I was wandering around the western half of the United States looking for, I don't know what. And then I found myself back into this white gravel parking lot. I'm literally sitting there and I'm like, what do I do now, Lord? And I had been asking that, but I mean, at this point, I'm really, really serious. I don't know. And I swear, Longview came to my head. I'm like, what if I want to go to Longview? And I argued with what I knew was God telling me where I needed to go. I tried detouring a few times, driving my own truck. And God, I tell you what, put me back on the path. So I went to Longview, Texas, and I spent 15 months in a Christian ministry. Because I was supposed to do it. You know, and it wasn't an easy Christian ministry. It was a work camp. It was geared toward work. But it was a good place and something I needed. I needed every minute of it. And it's little situations like that where if you can bring it up, and I try to think of ways to do that too, to nonchalantly bring it up, oh, God's got plans for me this Sunday. Just a simple little something like that, or man, God did something great for me today. How's your day? To where you can bring Jesus Christ, God, Lord, into the conversation. And if you have a short little testimony, like mine's a little long, but that can, wow, if he did that for you, and then you're just like bringing me back home. I kept saying, all I wanted to do when I left the ministry was come back home. Well, I went and did hot shot trucking for a while. I thought, that's going to be cool. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm landing back home. I'm supposed to be here for them. So for a week now, I've been back. God is good.
Amen. Welcome back.
Two ways about it.
So, what do we do when the government that's ruling over us is one of these people?
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Big time.
But it's about being a witness. It's about responding. It's about knowing who really is in charge and obeying Him. So, do we need God? Do we need God? I mean, couldn't we just mosey through life and do okay? Or do we need God? Yes. God exists and He has made Himself known. He explains all that we see. When you ask questions about how did this come to be, it'll track you back to God. The sky, the mountains, the trees, people, they come from somewhere.
Well, some of the things, what do we do when the government ruling over these, you know, is, you used to ask the question, we let it happen. We didn't pray, we didn't, you know, write a code, or we didn't do a lot of stuff. You know, our inaction is a lot of the reason why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even regardless of any of that, I mean, you go around the world, there's a lot of evil governments ruling over people. And, you know, what do we do? Well, back in Acts, you know, Peter and Paul asked the question, how can we not obey God? You know, you're telling us not to preach the gospel, but God's telling us to. How can we not obey Him? So, you know, God, the existence of God even explains evil. In other words, evil is constantly aimed at trying to overtake God's sovereignty. If there was no God, evil wouldn't even have an enemy. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. That's our goal. That's That's what we want. That's what we're shooting for. That's our existence. And does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, isn't that a message that the lost should want to hear? You pass out of death. You can pass out of all of this depression, this anxiety, this suicidal thinking, this hopeless living. You can pass out of that. You can get out of the bondage of death. Death, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. You can get out of that and have eternal life and have eternal hope. So, I want to just say in closing, when you recognize God as your creator, you will admire him. When you recognize his wisdom, you will learn from him. When you discover his strength, you will rely on him. But when he saves you, you will worship him.
Amen.
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 All right, well, let's gather around and pray for one another.